Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to our Bible study this evening at Ephesus Church of Christ. We're always glad to have you to worship with us and to study with us. And as you know, we're not meeting personally, physically right now through the 21st, which will be next Wednesday evening, but are meeting just virtually. Before we get into our Bible study, I want to say just a personal word for the people here at Ephesus, for our own members. As you have already been informed, yesterday we lost one of our elders, Brother Billy Wayne Young, passed away, and we certainly are sorrowful for that, and we certainly will miss Brother Billy. He not only was an elder here who exemplified what the Scripture says about not lording it over the flock, but leading by example, and he certainly set a good example, he and his wife Marge, in so many ways. For all of us here at Ephesus for many, many years. He was the last of the elders that were here at the time I came to work with the church about 30 years ago. And so he's been a real rock for me personally all through this time, and has certainly been a very dear friend for all of this time. And we will miss him sorely here at Ephesus as well as personally. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have given us people like Brother Billy that have been able to participate in the leadership of the church and to guide us and to certainly set a good example for us. And we pray now especially for his family that you will be with them and that you will give them peace and comfort that only you can give. We ask you, Lord, to be with us in our Bible study this evening as we study in the life of Moses. Help us to learn from it and to apply to our lives the things that we learn. We pray, Father, that you will be with others that are sick, and both of this congregation as well as other places that we know about, and just pray your healing power on them. We pray, Father, that you'll be with our nation and guide us as we have the potential for a Supreme Court justice being appointed and for the elections that are coming up, and we just pray that your will be done. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue our study, and probably will conclude, Lord willing, our study on the life of Moses this evening, I want to actually do it a little differently than we have been. I've been just telling story form and talking about this event, and so on in the life of various characters from the Old Testament that we've talked about. I actually want to begin this evening in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching a sermon, and there he goes back in this sermon, and he talks about Jewish history. In the beginning of verse 20, he says, "It was at this time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home. And after he had been set outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son." And that's verses 20 and 21 in Acts chapter 7. As we look at this, we see then that Pharaoh, and we looked at this story last week, you remember how that Moses was born, and Pharaoh had commanded the baby boys be killed from the Israelites, and Moses' mother had hidden him and for 3 months, and then put him in a basket, and Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river and found him, and then Miriam, the sister of Moses, ran up to Pharaoh's daughter and said, "Would you like for me to get someone to nurse this child?" And she went and got her own mother, who nurtured him until he was old enough to be sent to grow up as Pharaoh's daughter. And that's interesting because what we see is that he was a special child, and it mentions this both in the Old Testament, and Stephen mentions that here as well, that he was lovely in the sight of God. And in the Old Testament, it mentions the fact that he was an especially good-looking child and a special child. But we see also that he was trained as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was trained in word and in deed. And as we continue our reading there, verse 22, it says that Moses was educated or trained in all the learning of the Egyptians. He was a man of power in words and deeds. We don't really know much about Moses from the Scripture, in the first 40 years of his life. It tells about his birth, and then it tells about what happened when he left Egypt. And that really is about all that we're told about him. However, we are told by Josephus that Moses became a soldier, that Pharaoh that was in power at this time did not have any sons, and that because Pharaoh's daughter had adopted him, then he was being raised as an heir to the throne. And according to Josephus, he had become a mighty soldier in the Egyptian army, and they were especially enemies of the Ethiopians. And he had led the Egyptian army rather than up the Nile River, as was the normal case. He had led them across the desert and was able to get there much quicker than they had anticipated. He surprised them and totally defeated very decisively the Ethiopians at that time. And in fact, he, according to Josephus and other secular history, he and even archaeology, he had begun building statues to himself throughout Egypt. He had built buildings that were named after him, and even a tomb that was begun but never finished. We're told that Pharaoh became jealous of him because of his accomplishments, and that was even looking for ways that he might kill Moses and do so without accepting the blame because of fear that he might even rise up in a rebellion against Pharaoh and take over the kingdom himself. We understand that Moses, and we talked about this last week, decided that he was going to deliver Israel from their bondage. In the Old Testament, it doesn't really tell us this. It just says that he went out one day and he saw this Egyptian was beating this Israelite, and he killed the Egyptian. And then the next day, it was two Israelites fighting. And so he went up and he tried to break them up. And they said, "Wait a minute, you're going to kill me like you did the Egyptian?" And Moses realized that Pharaoh, whom he knew already was trying to get rid of him, knew about this. He fled from Egypt and went to Midian. But in Acts chapter 7, it says, when he was approaching the age of 40, this is verse 23, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. And so what we see here is that Moses actually was thinking that he was going to deliver God's people. Now, I find that interesting because Moses had qualified himself to do that. He was a soldier. He was a leader. He was one who knew how to control an army. And he knew he had enough Israelites there that he could get them to follow him, and immediately they could overthrow the Egyptians who held them in bondage, and they could be freed. And he had this grand plan to deliver God's people. There was only one problem. This wasn't God's plan. And you see, no matter how much we may like an idea, it doesn't matter how much we may think it's a really grand idea and how noble it may be, if God is not for it, it's not going to work. Moses was not ready. God had a plan to deliver Israel. It was already in his mind how he was going to do it, and he was going to use Moses. But you see, Moses was not ready for this. Moses was 40 years old. He was in his prime, and he was full of himself. And so God thwarted his plan, and he fled from Egypt, and he went to Midian. There in Midian, we see that he met a man named Jethro, who was a priest of the Most High God. But you know, there's an interesting statement in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. There it says, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment for the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. In my mind, that presents a little bit of a problem, because when you read the story back in the book of Exodus, what it says is that when he was old enough to be weaned, then he was sent back. Well, that would probably be at the most 2 years old, and I doubt seriously that no matter how good a Bible teacher his mother and daddy were, that they had taught him sufficiently that he would have this kind of faith as a grown man if they only had him for 2 years. So it seems that probably his mother not only nursed him physically, but nursed him emotionally and nursed him as a child, bringing him up and nurtured him and taught him until he was quite a bit older, and possibly even continued to do so after Pharaoh's daughter took guardianship and began to actually keep her there, which would, again, not have been unusual to have had someone to raise their children for them and to teach them and so on. But he obviously had been taught faith in God. And so we see that he was willing to leave Egypt because of his faith in God. And so he fled to Midian. There, Moses was 40 years old. He met Jethro, as we just said. He married one of Jethro's daughters. He had children by her. And he worked as a shepherd. And I'm going to tell you what. A shepherd was pretty low on the totem pole in Bible times as far as any kind of clout or esteem was concerned. They were down very near the bottom of the social rung. Moses now has gone from second in command over the whole land of Egypt with the very real possibility of becoming the next Pharaoh to being a shepherd. And not a shepherd of some wealthy man that's out in some lush place, but he's a shepherd in Midian, where they're feeding and watering sheep on the mountainsides and in the valleys and wherever they could find good enough grass to shepherd the flock. And so here he is in the mountains and the deserts, and he's learning a lesson. And all of this time, God is getting him ready. Now, I suspect if you had talked to Moses, he would have said, well, I felt like I had life made, but I guess I didn't after all. I sort of got knocked down and I got, you know, put down pretty low. But I've learned to live with it, and I've learned to be a good shepherd. And so all of these skills that I've learned and all of this education I got when I was back in Egypt, it really didn't do me much good, but, you know, I'm doing okay. Well, the truth is, he was still getting an education. He was still learning. Because he was learning how to be humble. He was learning that God is in control. He was learning that it's not about him, but it is about God and what God can do. And so when Moses saw that bush that was burning that we talked about last week, you remember that he went over to the bush and as he approached the bush, God said, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. And God said, I am the God of Israel, and I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to deliver my people, Israel, from their bondage. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, Moses responded by saying, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Yeah, 40 years ago, he was all for it. 40 years ago, he felt like he was ready. But you see, now he is ready. He just doesn't realize it. And he's not full of himself anymore, and it's not about Moses. It just simply is a shepherd doing the work that he's been given to do. Now what we see is we see that Moses is meek. In Numbers chapter 12, there in verse 3, we read that it says that the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. And if you look at the context of this in Numbers chapter 12, what you see is that Moses had married a Cushite woman, probably a different race, obviously a different race, probably even a different skin color than what they were. And his brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, rebuked him because of this, and they spoke against him. And not only did they speak against him because he did this, but they assumed that they ought to have just as much power and authority as he did. And so in Numbers 12, it says that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?" And if you look at the response of Moses to this, you won't find it. It doesn't say Moses did anything. It doesn't say Moses said anything. What it does say is, "And the Lord heard it." You see, Moses was willing to let God take care of things. And so being meek is not being weak. It just simply is allowing God to exercise his power and his control. And so it says that the Lord heard it. And then what we just read in parenthesis, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." And then it says, "Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, 'You three, come out to the tent of meeting.'" So the three of them came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam when they had both come forward. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings. For he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" When the cloud was lifted, we find there that Miriam had become leprous. And Moses immediately entreated the Lord on behalf of Aaron, said, "Please entreat the Lord." And Moses did. And he said, "Please heal my sister Miriam." And God said, even if she had been spit on by her father, she would have to be unclean for 7 days. So at least she's got to do that. And so she was unclean for 7 days. And then she was cleansed according to the law and was able to continue her journey. But what we see in this is we see that Moses was very meek. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that shows a person's humility more than when he is being accosted, or when he or she is being threatened, or he or she has someone talking badly about them. But over and over and over again, Moses faced the wrath and the anger and the disappointment and the outright rebellion of the children of Israel, as they would just from time to time rebel against him and rebel against God. And yet, in spite of all of this, what we see is that Moses, when he was confronted, always trusted God. He always let God take care of it. And that's a humble person. And you and I need to learn a lesson from that, because Moses wasn't doing what he did for Moses. Moses was doing what he was doing for God. And it was all about God, and it was all about honoring God, and it was all about giving glory to God. In Numbers chapter 11, in verses 26 through 29, we read there that there were two men who had remained in the camp, and the context here is that the children of Israel had grumbled about not having the food to eat that they wanted. They just get tired of eating manna, and God said he would give them more. Moses said, I'm overloaded. I got more on me than I can possibly handle. And God said, okay, we will appoint men to help you take care of the load. And so they called out the elders and had them come out. And the Spirit of the Lord came down on these elders. And yet there were two of the 70 that had been called that did not come out. And so in Numbers 11, beginning in verse 26, it says, two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, rested upon them. Now they were among those who had been registered, but had not gone out to the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. So a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Now notice the reaction of Joshua. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses from his youth, said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would have put his spirit upon them. You see, Moses was truly the kind of man that didn't care who got the credit. He didn't care who got the glory. All he cared about was getting the work of God done. All he cared about was the word of God being spread. And so when there were two men that could prophesy by the Spirit of God, he was happy for them and happy for the people of God that these people were available. In Numbers chapter 16, remember there the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they rebelled against Moses and against Aaron. And they said, we too are men who should be leaders just like you are. God didn't just give it to you. Moses told them to come out to the tent of meeting, and that was God's instructions. And Korah came, but Dathan and Abiram refused to come. And Moses' response to all of this was, I'll just let the Lord take care of it. And so he prayed to God. And he said, show them who's in charge. And what happened, you remember the story probably, that the earth opened up and swallowed them and all of their belongings and their families. And then fire came down from heaven and completely destroyed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You see, God had placed Moses in this position. And Moses wasn't personally jealous of it. What he cared about was that God would be glorified and that God's plan would be carried out. In Exodus chapter 20, we have the story there of the Ten Commandments that Matt has been covering in our Sunday evening class. And there, you remember how the Ten Commandments were given, and then the chapters that follow after that, the law was given. And for 40 days, Moses was up on the mountain with God, and God was writing the law for him and giving him all of this stuff and all the things that he needed. And so he was able to be with God and to know what God wanted. And so he had the law for the children of Israel. And yet, you remember the story of how while he was up there, they made a golden calf. And Aaron said to them, he said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. And Moses and Joshua came down. You remember how that he ground up the calf and made powder out of it, and he made the children of Israel drink it, and he rebuked them, and many of them even were killed and put to death for this. But in the process of all of this, in chapter 32 of Exodus, where this story is recorded, God told Moses, he said, just stand still and get out of the way, and I'm going to totally destroy the children of Israel. And I'm going to start over, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And the response of Moses is that he pleads with God that he not do that. He had his chance. He could have been the patriarch just like Abraham had been recognized as being. He could have been the one that the great nation came from him. But instead, in verse 11 of Exodus 32, Moses entreated the Lord his God, and he said, O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, with evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and destroy them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And all this land which I've spoken, I'll give your descendants, and they shall inherit forever. So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he had said he would do to his people. You see, Moses could have taken the glory, but rather he was willing to plead for the people and plead for God's glory and God's name. One more story that I want to just mention briefly. And this is really the only sin that we have specifically mentioned that I know of concerning Moses. And that's found in Numbers chapter 20. God told him the water was bitter and the water was not, they had a lack of water. And he told, it wasn't bitter, it was, they didn't have the water. And he told him, he said, I want you and Aaron to go, take your rod and speak to the rock, and water will come forth for the people. Moses was fed up. These people had grumbled and complained about everything from the very beginning. And he took his rod and he struck that rock and he said, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? And God said, because God sent water. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is Numbers chapter 20, in verse 12, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. And these are called the waters of Meribah, because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and he proved himself holy among them. The mistake that Moses made here is that he did not give the credit to God. Yes, Moses was a humble man. He was a man of God. God spoke with him on a level that others never enjoyed that benefit or privilege. And yet, Moses made this terrible mistake on this occasion. And he understood. He never argued with God about it. But he realized that because of what he had done, and not giving God the glory, that God was being just and not allowing him to go to the land of Canaan. We need to learn humility. In Philippians 2, Jesus is given to us as an example of humility, and he gave up all the glories of heaven in order to come and to be one of us and to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sin. What a blessing that is, to know that we can have our sins forgiven. And so tonight, if you're not Christian, we want to urge you to study the Word of God, and we would encourage you to contact us and let us study with you what God teaches in order to how to become a child of God, how to become a Christian. And what you'll find as you study through the Bible is that we must believe in Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God. We must believe that he did in fact die for our sins, and we make a confession of him as the Son of God, and then we turn away from our sin in repentance. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when these people on the day of Pentecost had already acknowledged that they believed in him, when they said, what do we need to do? He said to them that you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, we would urge you to follow God's plan in order to become a Christian. If we can help you, we want to encourage you to contact us so that we might do that. We want to have a word of prayer, and that will conclude our lesson for this evening. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for the example of Moses and for all the things that you have given us in your word about him and his life. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to not seek glory for ourselves, but to honor your name. Help us to not worry about who gets the credit, but just to see that your work is done. And help us above all to make sure that we're doing the things that you want us to do and not our own doing. We ask you, Lord, to be with us as your people. Help us to reach out to those that are lost. Help us to show your love to others as we have opportunity. Forgive us when we do wrong, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.